All stand for just a word of prayer, and we'll invite the Holy Spirit here this morning. Hallelujah. Father God, we just come before you this morning. Lord, where you have said in your word, if two or three are gathered together in my name. So Lord Jesus, we are here this morning in your name. We invite you to come, walk amongst us. We invite your Spirit to come, teach us, lead us into all truth. For it is your truth that sets our hearts, our souls free. Come, we ask, in the powerful name of Jesus, be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, please say welcome back, Dick. Pastor Karen.
How about we all stand and we will say out loud together the opening scripture. Today it's from the King James Version, and that's Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain.
For he is exalted, the king is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise him. The King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Exalted on high, he is the Lord. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the king is exalted on high. He is exalted, the king is exalted on high.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, we exalt you, Lord, with our whole being this morning. Let our minds be focused on you. Let our hearts desire your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on him for a minute. We exalt you, Lord, with our mind. We exalt you, Lord, with our hearts. We exalt you, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. We do, we bow before you this morning, Lord Jesus, as we give honor to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are ever present in our lives, Lord. In our day-to-day lives, you are ever present. You are there with us, Lord. You are there to pick us up if we fall. You are there to hold our hand to guide us. You are there to give us a hug when we need it. You are there to lift up our head when we're discouraged. We exalt you and we thank you for all this. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. Paul, can you come up and lead us into our offering time?
Well, good morning, everyone, and here we are to worship the Lord. So let's pray over our tithes and offering. It's a great opportunity to give to the Lord that we cannot outgive. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to bring our tithes into your storehouse. Lord, we ask that you bless them, increase them, and use them to spread the gospel, not only in this community, but to the far corners of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I told you I was going to share about the vision that God had given me last week. But during I was at the Southwest Conference this week, the Fall Southwest Conference, and also the president of Foursquare and the vice president and others were there, and the district supervisor and stuff. But at the end, they were doing all sorts of types of worship, and at the very end, one of the pastors, the senior pastor at the church that hosted this conference, he says, okay, we've done all this type of worship. I mean, we did hula-type worship. I mean, they had a church from New Hope, which is located in Las Vegas, but a lot of Hawaiians moved to Las Vegas or are there, and so a church plant came and started, and so they did Hawaiian worship. They were doing all sorts of worship. But at the end... And so we did Hispanic worship. I mean, we just did everything. We did worship in all different ways. Rap. I mean, you should have seen this one guy. It was just really cool. And it was just really neat to see. And you know my heart is I love all different ways to worship the Lord. But I do have a partiality to hymns. I love the hymns. But he's saying, this is holy ground. And I knew the minute he sang it that was what we were to sing during the Lord's tithes and offerings time, during this time. And I was just in awe. I haven't sang it in a long time. So you sing with me. I mean, this is not like a solo thing that the Lord, yeah.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing.
praise you, Lord. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you for this time to be able to give unto you, Lord God, your tithes and our offerings as we continue to praise you and worship you. Oh, Lord God, may you always be praised and worshiped in our lives, in and through our thoughts and what we do and speak. And you move our hands, you move our mouths, you move our feet according to your will, your way. Oh, Lord, may we always continue to glorify you. Oh, Lord. We thank you and praise you. Right now, I lift up your tithes and offerings, Lord, unto you, Lord God. I thank you and praise you that you bless us when we are obedient to you, for you love it when we are obedient to you, because it's out of cheerful hearts we are obedient to you. For error all increases from you, Lord God, and all you require is 10%. But Lord, I thank you and praise you that your Holy Spirit, because you love a cheerful giver, that often through the Holy Spirit we are moved to give above and beyond for however you lead us to. Oh Lord, I thank you and praise you. We present together, unified, this is yours, Lord God. We present it to you, Lord God, and may it be used in ways totally and completely pleasing to you with the utmost integrity, for we answer to you, Lord God, and we want Pathway of Hope to continue to glorify you every part, seen or unseen by others. And Lord, I thank you that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings helps the Foursquare, which in turn also helps the missionaries around the world, because Foursquare is so incredibly focused, and that is so important to be able to spread the gospel to others. And that includes America, not just around the world, but it includes America. Lord, I thank you and praise you for those that are throughout different communities here in America and throughout the world, Lord, serving you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. And I thank you that this helps to get that truth, that light, for you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Jesus, you are Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you, Lord. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. We went on Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Remember, the Lord led us to that. It was the National Day, International Day of Prayer, the National Day of Prayer for the Peace for Jerusalem, but it's internationally in the sense that all over. And, but the Lord, so we remember I mentioned it, but the Lord led us, had us really concentrate on his faithfulness. And the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance says, remember, literally it's a firmness. Figuratively, a security. Morally, fidelity. That's the Hebrew for faithfulness. But also, it says about set in office, stability, steady, truth. It comes from a word meaning established. And that word comes from a word meaning to build up or support, to foster as a parent or nurse, figuratively, to render or be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, that still quiet voice of the Lord. Morally, to be true or certain. This is our God. Faithfulness. And then we went to some scriptures. I shared with you 20, I didn't quote because I didn't have memorized, 20 scriptures on faithfulness. There's a whole lot more. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And then we have Psalm 36, verses 5 through 6. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Psalm 40, verse 10. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. We are to be telling others about his love and his faithfulness, his salvation that comes in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, because they are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 89, verse 1. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Psalm 89, verse 2. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you establish your faithfulness in heaven itself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 8. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. And verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Praise God. Psalm 100, verses 4 through 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Greek for faithfulness comes from a primitive verb to convince, to assent, to evidence or authority, to rely by inward certainty, to agree, to assure, believe, have confidence, make friend, obey, persuade, trust, yield. Our example, Jesus. Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we at Pathway of Hope and others should always be relying on the one who is always faithful, standing firm, building us up, strengthening us, helping us, nurturing us. He is our daddy, our Abba, our father, caring for us every step of the way. And he's the one who is faithful that we can rely on. And that is why it is so important, as Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 24 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That is Pathway of Hope, because our hope is him who was always faithful. The Noah Webster's Dictionary, one of the definitions for the noun was strict performance of promises, vows or covenants, constancy in affection, as the faithfulness of a husband or wife. He is our always faithful husband. He is ready for us. We are his beloved, and he is our beloved. We have a God who is always there. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The adjective for faithful firm in adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion. Revelation chapter 2, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That is why we are here, to encourage each other to continue to love him, to obey him, and to love others. But it is by us relying on the faithfulness of God and that love and all that it encompasses that we are supplied with in order to be able to love others, even when they are at times unlovable. This comes from our God. Jesus rocked the boat constantly with culture because he was love, and he was extending that love to everyone no matter what. He was faithful to who he was and what he was called to do, because he relied on his faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever God. Another definition is true, exact, and conformity to the letter and spirit as a faithful execution of a will. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. True to the marriage covenant is another definition as a faithful wife or husband. This is the example, though, now as Jesus is showing the example. Jesus now in heaven is our husband in a sense, and he is waiting for that spotless bride. But that spotless bride is one who truly has a heart totally and completely dedicated to him, leaning on him, living for him, relying on him, trusting on him, depending on him. He is our source and our strength. And he is the one that we are going to get encouraging us and helping us by his grace and his mercy, empowered through the Holy Spirit that he has with us in order to be able to be obedient to our Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Because we can't do it unless it is with him. He is our strength, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He is our source, totally, as Zechariah 4, 6 says. But we also need to remember 2 Chronicles 16:9, that our Lord God, our Heavenly Father's eyes are roaming throughout the earth, totally looking at the heart, ready to strongly support and strengthen each and every person who is dedicated to him. Are we going to be perfect? No. But if our heart is dedicated, that when we want to be corrected and when we blow it and when we sin, we go with repentant hearts saying, Lord, I am so sorry. This week, totally and completely tested on that one. In the jail ministry, I shared that I never swore. I just never did. Paul and my stepson, when we got married, they would just crack up that I could get so mad and never swear. And then when we were called to move here, something happened. And all of a sudden I had a sailor's mouth, trucker's mouth, whatever you want to call it. The lady at the jail, we're calling it a trucker's mouth. And I don't understand why, because we have no ocean around, whatever. And I was shocked. I was like so embarrassed. And where is this coming from? And then I had to seek the Lord constantly. Then we move here. I'm still struggling with the sailor's mouth when I get mad. And then, or trucker's mouth, whatever you want to call it. But and then I'm leading the women's Bible study. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm on the worship team. I'm helping with the setup in the town. And finally I go, ladies, I need you to support me in prayer, because I am seeking God on prayer. My husband's seeking God on prayer to help me to stop swearing. And some of the words that I would use, people didn't call it a swear word, but I call it a swear word. To me, it was a swear word. But you know, it's just like, Lord, I am struggling with this. And so I've been doing really good. And I told the ladies, you just, anything you do, you keep giving it to the Lord. You keep asking him and he will strengthen you and you will conquer it. I had it conquered pretty well for a long time. And in fact, Paul was at that jail service when I was there, and I was telling him, huh, haven't I been good? And he said, yeah, you haven't sworn in a long time. Until this past week. And there were computer issues going on, and
I lost my temper. And a word came out that some people don't call it a swear word, but to me it is a swear word. And I just was crying, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because I blew this, I let it get to me instead of surrendering it to you. And I am so sorry. And I spent a time just apologizing to him, letting him take the brunt of my steam when it wasn't him, but my poor husband, and then crying out to God. And then reminded by my husband, remember that blood covers that. And I said, yeah, I know, but man, I thought I had that conquered. And I didn't. I blew it. This week, I want you to know we remembered that sealant for the mascara, okay? So we'll try this and see if that works. So, anyways, okay. But I just thought, Lord, you were there for me. And you know my heart is to totally, completely please you. And any challenge that comes my way, I respond in a way that Jesus would have responded. With a righteous anger, but without sin. Another one is conformable to truth as a faithful narrative or representation. He is representing us. And it's because of him that he represents us in the sense that his blood covers us. And see, then we are the righteousness of our Lord God in and through Jesus. He is the one that is showing this dark world, the demonic world, that this is my child. And I have the blood covering that child. And my name is on that child. And the power of my name is on that child. For another definition is he's constant, not fickle, as a faithful lover or friend. He should be the lover of our soul. But in the sense that he is the lover of our soul, he is also our friend. And yet we are to fear God and to love him, but yet to fear him. But yet he is our friend. Abraham was a friend because he feared God, but he loved him with all of his heart, soul, mind, spirit. He obeyed when it didn't make sense. And then he was called a friend. We know that Abraham was imperfect also. But his heart was a heart after God, for God. We need to remember he is faithful, always. Our opening scripture last week was Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The expanded Bible, the Lord's love, his loyalty never ends. His mercies, his compassion never stop. They are new every morning. Your Lord, your loyalty, your faithfulness is great. It is abundant. Praise God. We read it in the Amplified too. It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed. Because his tender compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness. The Lord is my portion or share. He says that my living being, my inner self, therefore will, this is what my inner being, my living self says, will I hope in him and wait, I will hope in him and wait expectantly for him. I will hope in him and wait expectantly for him. I will hope in him and wait expectantly for him. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. And remember, Jesus is the Word. He is our source. But I didn't get into this much. Strong's exhaustive concordance for weight is the Hebrew, a primitive root, to bind together, perhaps by twisting. Collect, an example, figuratively, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, wait for, on, and upon. Remember, we, as 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, we are united with the Lord and we are one with him in spirit. And the Lord, I know, there is promises in here that he has given each and every one of us. But sometimes he also speaks specifically a promise to us, whether it's through the word or confirmed or supported by the word. He has given us promises. And we are to wait expectantly for those promises. Expectantly hoping and expectantly. For the Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of, and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. Isaiah chapter 62. This was given to each one of us. This was given to Pathway of Hope on June 23rd, 2013. And then I said we were to change it up because remember in July, I saw that this was changed up because then the Lord said we were to no longer be called, we will be known as a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. We are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And we weren't the only ones that got that about the new name. It was another pastor, Garris Elkins, and he had gotten it around the same time. This was put out in July, but 22nd, but he said a few weeks he's been mulling over it, and then he felt the Lord was saying, everybody get ready for a name change. Well, we got that. And he said, it is changed. We got that. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to not only him, but to us. And thank you for giving us Isaiah 62. And then on September 22nd, we had a guest visiting, some people visiting, and that was Reverend Lois Bly and her husband Carl. And I referred to this because I said, change up, and on the back, it says change up any of the words of Zion or Jerusalem, and we are to put in our word, our name. And we are to claim this. And I gave the different, remember, I wrote it up in a way with the different versions or translations that I felt were applicable. Even though it totally spoke loud and clear when I read it one time and God said, Isaiah 62 is yours from the New King James Version. He speaks to us in the version that we're reading, loud and clear. And his Holy Spirit can get through to us. But this is what Reverend Lois Bly said. During that service, because I just briefly mentioned about that, she felt the Lord speaking to her. She has a prophetic heart, too. I sense that the Lord is speaking to this body, not only to you, Pastor Karen and Paul, but it's out of Isaiah 62. And I've kept studying it here during the church service, saying, Lord, what? What verse? What are you saying? And he said, it's out of Isaiah 62, that the coming year, your year number 8, will be instruction, it will be guidance, it will be encouragement. So as you study Isaiah 62, do it under his heart, his eyes. We need to refocus, not looking at the way that we've looked at things anymore. He has given us eyes to see and ears to hear, and we need to hear with him, his ears, and we need to see with him, his eyes, through the Holy Spirit. And he is going to give that to each and every one of us. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 3 is a verse that the Lord gave me when I was on the mountaintop. When I told you, I said, I'm doing what they said at the conference at the end of May. They were saying that pastors, especially, and leaders, the senior pastors, they need to get away. They need to have a time that is separate from your Sabbath. And they recommended once a month you get away and then have a time with God, and then every 3 months, a few days. Well, I went up to Mount Lemmon. This time I asked Paul. The last time I went with Pastor Jenny, this time I asked Paul to take me up and then to go and do his metal detecting thing and hiking or whatever. And so we went up to that Inspiration Rock because I told him I wanted you to see the Inspiration Rock, which is what Pastor Jenny and I had looked at because she had been there before with some ladies from her church. But we wound up, as Pastor Jenny, going on the Rock Haven side, which is right across the street. But when we were on looking at the Inspiration Rock side, this time we got out of the car and really looked around, I saw this rock. And the sun was on it, and it was glistening, beautiful, gold, glittery, and it had like veins. It was beautiful. And then we went over to Rock Haven, and I'm enjoying the beauty, and I'm seeing this little bird on the table coming right near me, knowing his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And then as I'm reading the word, I knew that 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 he was speaking this to us. Zechariah 8:3. The King James Version says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." Now that was our opening scripture, but I want you to hear it in what I read it from, which was the New King James Version. That's what I'm going through right now. "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." The expanded Bible says, "This is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem and dwell and live in the midst of it. Then it will be called the city of truth," or faithfulness. "And the mountain of the Lord, all-powerful, almighty, of heaven's armies of hosts, will be called the holy mountain, Zion, the location of the temple." The Amplified says, "Jerusalem, pathway of hope, will be called the faithful city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." The 1599 Geneva Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." Then it has a footnote about the city of truth, "because she shall be faithful and loyal toward me, her husband." And this is the heart of Pathway of Hope, to not compromise his truth, to encourage each other, to love God, and to be obedient with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, to allow each other to be human, but then to encourage each other. As my husband had to remind me, "Karen, go to the Lord and repent and claim that blood and go forward." So this is what we are to do for one another, not to judge one another, but to encourage each other and to help each other to get through the challenges that we are going through, and claiming the power of the blood, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of his word, the power of the name of Jesus, the power of joined effort, united prayer with what God has given each and every one of us. He will dwell in our midst, for we are a church, a location, part of the body of Christ that wants to just speak his truth and not compromise his truth as some are doing. This is my heart, because you know that Jesus walked that way. He did not compromise the word. He was the word. He was truth, and he was faithful to that. But it was filled with love with mercy, with grace, with compassion, but with firmness. Because God is true and holy and pure, and he did not compromise that at all. But it was filled with love, an understanding that is unfathomable. Forgiveness, mercy, grace. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3, and the message says, Jerusalem's new names will be True City, a mountain of God of the angel armies, and Mount Holiness. This is Pathway of Hope. The NLT says, the New Living Translation, the mountain of the Lord of heaven's armies will be called the Holy Mountain. The Good News Translation says, the hill of the Lord Almighty will be called the Sacred Hill. The New Life Version says, the mountain of the Lord of all will be called the Holy Mountain. The mountain of the Lord of armies. This is our Lord's. Pathway of Hope is the Lord's. The voice says, second, I will return to Zion and live. I will live in the heart of Pathway of Hope. So it will be known far and wide as the city of truth, the place of truth, and the mountain of the eternal, commander of the heavenly armies, will be called Holy Mountain. This is where we are. We are standing on holy ground. I told you about what Reverend Lois Bly said. And if you've read that, you would remember how precious the promise is and what God has called us in Isaiah 62. And I encourage you to pray it and claim it and get direction from it and encouragement of who we are. For we are part of the body of Christ, and God has called us to this. But I remember, do you remember the faithfulness, and that Thomas Chisholm was the writer of that? So most of us here are 50 and over. But remember, back in 1923, beyond his prime age of 57, this is when Thomas Chisholm sent a few of his poems to William Runyon at the Hope Publishing Company. And one of them was Great is Thy Faithfulness, based on Lamentations 3, 22, and 23. And we need to remember, as the Lord led me to learn it in Spanish, the chorus, Cada momento lo veo en mí. Every moment is a delight. I see and I watch his veil in me. Every moment, I am waiting expectantly. Every moment is a delight because I am the Lord's and the Lord is mine. And I love him with a pure heart, a heart that is seeking him, a heart that is dependent on him, a heart that is living for him, to him, and through him, and by him. And it is all for his glory. A heart that is willing to have my lips speak what he wants me to speak. A heart that is willing to have my hands do what he wants them to do. A heart that is having my feet go where he wants them to go, no matter what, when it doesn't make sense. Amen. A heart that is his. And nada me falta, pues todo provees. I shall not want, because it'll be well with me. For he is the one that is my source. He is the one that will provide everything. For he is faithful. Isaiah 62, those subtitles. The Lord takes delight in Pathway of Hope. The Pathway of Hope's glory, a new name. Your number 8, your year. We are in the year 8. New beginnings. It's new Pathway of Hope. Pathway of Hope is a city, it is a place full of God's goodness, because our hearts are totally and completely dedicated to him, and we are speaking his truth and not compromising it. We are his. something new for Pathway of Hope, and we are in this year of newness. This is Pathway of Hope's new identity. Isaiah 62. This is our new identity, and we need to move in it, breathe in it, live it, claim it. We need to be what God has called us to be. So, sharing with you my vision. I shared with you the scripture, and I saw this rock. But I want to share with you that this spoke a lot, because years ago, in November 23rd, 2008, at 7:30 in the morning, Paul and I were looking over at the Catalina Mountain Range. And on the rocky area, we've seen the sun go there, and there's a spot, but this time it wasn't the sun. This time, it was gold, and it was shimmery shiny, and it was going in veins. Some of you know this, some of you do not, and I'm sharing something that was given to the Lord and I, Paul and I, because the Lord, when the Lord spoke to me, and I'd never had this happen before, and he was speaking volumes in the year 2008 to me, and he said, and it was in January of 2008 that he let me know there was a bigger call in my life than being the women's Bible study leader, the worship leader, children's Sunday school teacher, helping with setup, tear down, helping in any way. And we didn't know what it was, but I had a hunger for the word never like before. In that time that we were praying, because I was at a job that God was not releasing me from, because he had said a couple months earlier that he was having me stay there to train me and to prepare me, his faithful servant. And so people were lying. People were just treating me horrible. A lot of people were like, couldn't believe I wasn't quitting, and I was still trying my best, crying out to God. The women at Bible study, they were helping me, encouraging me, praying with me as I finally shared with them, as it was getting harder and harder, and I needed the Lord. Just out and out lies. Things given, taken away in underhanded ways. Yet still honoring the unhonorable. Loving, forgiving, and doing my best at that job. Leaning on the Lord to help me. In that time, Paul was praying for me, and the Lord had said something, you will find the gold treasure that will be used to build the church. The next day at church service, Pastor Johnny, in his service, which was totally on something different, he was giving portions of like how to bless the Lord. I'll give 50% for this. I'll give 30% if I get this bonus. I'll give, if I get win the lottery, I'll give, you know, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden he said, and I'll give, if I find the lost gold, when I find the lost gold mine, I will give it to the church. I looked at Paul and I said, okay, lost gold mine, lost gold treasure, give it to the church, use it to build the church. Okay, same diff. And so then, it was months later, this was in January of 2008, January 26th, 27th, that happened at church service. So then, on November 23rd, 2008, we see that gold, and it's gold. It is not the sun. And then we see it off and on throughout, and we wrote down again, 7:45 at 12:21, 2008. We have not seen it since, the way we saw it that time. It has been the sun and the sun going. But when I saw this, I knew God was speaking to me. Then he gave me that verse. And then on our way down, when we were leaving, there was a deer that crossed our path, and we had stopped to see something else. If we hadn't have stopped for something else and pulled over, we wouldn't have come across that deer. I told them to stop, and I got out of the car. And the deer was looking at me and then crossed and then was going up effortlessly up a challenged mountain with the cactus and the hill and the rocks. Every once it would stop,
look at me. And I lost it when it was almost at the top. When God put this call in my life, and then at the end of January of 2008, I was asked to be the women's ministry director. We were asked to do a financial seminar, and then the Lord revealed to Pastor Johnny, there is an anointing on your wife, because we had kept this quiet. We were praying about it. I was still serving the Lord and working and doing what the Lord said, going, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going with this. And he said, I want you to do a sermon, and then eventually I want you to pursue your pastor's license. And then we all know it was shortly after that, then Pastor Doug wound up being the senior pastor, and Pastor Johnny moved on to where he is now. And I was taking a leadership class at Presto Oil Ministries. At the end of the leadership class, the teacher took all the ladies together, and we were praying, and she kept going back to me, and she goes, I see a deer. I see you as a deer. You are clearly as a deer, and I can see the freckles. I can see the eyes. I have never seen a vision this clear. She would pray for the others. She kept coming back to me. I see that you are going up, and God is putting you in high places, and you are going up, and he is having you see things that he is showing you and hear things that he is having you hear, and you will speak his truth. And you will not compromise it. But arrows, I see arrows coming at you. And people are trying to kill you and trying to harm you. But you will not be harmed. He will not let you. And he will show them that what he has you speak is the truth. That means I'm going to go through some stuff in the meantime. And it won't be pretty. But she said, study the deer. And I did. And that's when I saw that the deer looks both at what he's doing and beyond at the same time. He can look up, but it's not peripheral vision. It is all being censored in and filtered in and taken in at the same time, processed. So I will be doing, but yet God will be revealing to me. And she said some other things. So that deer, the rock, the scripture. And then we went to prayer night at Tuesday night, our first time at Margaret's house. After that night, it was a beautiful night, I said, Paul, please, let's lay the sleeping bag down on the deck and let's enjoy the stars. So we're enjoying the stars, and we're seeing even some shooting stars, and all of a sudden, I told you I was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. This has happened after the prophetic gathering with Paul Keith Davis and Pastor Stephen Shelley and others that were there, and Chuck Pierce. And this happened one other time. When I'm really revealing some things that I don't share to everybody, you guys. But this lady came up to me, Paul and Cindy Johnson, and when we walked in there, she goes, oh, you were at In-N-Out Burger. And I go, no. And she goes, no, it was you. And she looks at her husband, she goes, it was them. I saw them. She goes, this has never happened to me before. What do you mean you weren't there? I go, well, years ago, I used to work at In-N-Out Burger, but, you know, I wasn't there. And she goes, and that was in Phoenix, where they were at that earlier that day. I said, no. And then she went to hug me later in the evening. And she goes, oh, oh, oh. And then she goes, this has never happened to me. I'm carrying your suitcase. I'm carrying your luggage because you are speaking to many. She goes, Paul, she looks at her husband because his name is Paul too. What's going on? I'm going, I don't know what's going on. And then I go home and I wake up and I'm shaking. And it's not an epileptic seizure, but I'm shaking. And I'm knowing that I have a peace, this is of the Lord. And then all of a sudden I'm groaning deep. And he's going, are you okay? And I go, I can barely even talk. I'm going, yeah. And so this is like not happened to me before. And then it was like the next day, I'm in the shower. And he says, Karen, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I go, no. And he goes, yeah, you were playing your shofar thing, right? And I go, no. And he goes, the shofar was coming out of the room where you were. The shofar was... It was beautiful. It was clear. And it wasn't just one. There was more, or it was several. You didn't hear that? I said, no.
And then the other time when I had this happening, and I started like feeling like a sensation, like an electric sensation. I was in bed and coming down me, and I'm going, and then he said, he opens his eyes because he's making sure I'm okay. And he looks in the mirror above, and he says, little angels. And then the minute that I stopped, once I stopped, he saw the angels exit. Out to the right. I've been a Christian loving the Lord constantly. Just remember, I was raised in a church that speaking in tongues, this baptized with the Holy Spirit thing was like, mm-mm-mm. And when Paul led me there, I was like, oh, okay, I can raise my hands. I love to worship God, and I love to dance and praise and worship. But this speaking in tongue things, then when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and did receive my language of tongues, because you don't always when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, but although some people believe, but I don't, you know. And so anyways, and that's an empowerment. And so when I was baptized, and that came, and I stuffed it because I was uncomfortable. And then another time it was released, and then I stuffed it because I was uncomfortable. This time in January when the Lord overwhelmed me and the Holy Spirit spoke to me big time, it came out and I couldn't stuff it any longer. Although I did go into the bedroom because I was uncomfortable about it, about being doing it in front of my husband. And it was like, okay, Lord, something is going on. And this is what I want to emphasize. We need to be obedient to the Lord, and we need to love each other. And if they aren't there, that's okay. The most important thing is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. Allow then everybody to grow and be the Christian, working out their salvation with fear and trembling as God calls them and as the Holy Spirit empowers them. But give that freedom and that time to one another. But I was willing to go, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And my sister doesn't have that speaking in tongues, but she was saying, Karen, the Lord revealed to me that he has given that for you because you are a woman of faith. Well, that's what Shamar had told me too. She goes, oh no, somebody else had walked up to me one time. This is in 2008 again, saying, the Lord said during worship, I'm supposed to tell you this, I've never done this before, but I'm telling you faith and courage in Acts 9. I don't know what it's about in Acts 9. That's a Damascus Road experience, and the Apostle Paul is strongly preaching out. People are trying to kill him and harm him. He is being let go. He is speaking the truth, not compromising. Also, Peter raises Dorcas up from the dead, a gentleman that had been paralyzed, and heals him. So that's Acts 9, since she didn't know. I'm giving all this stuff, so I'm just letting you know where we're going. And then we go home. I see this, and when I'm laying there, okay, this is happening again, this you know, and this groaning thing. And so then all of a sudden I see this vision. And, you know, you guys have had some visions, and you see things, and I haven't, like, seen it, like, you know, like you guys, some of you have had that gift and have that, and I hadn't. And I hope you're prepared for this, but I saw people lined up, and they couldn't get in. There was just so many to get in. Debbie, can you show that one slide? I was trying to, like, try to show it, and there's that one slide, 75, and it has people, like, lined up. And I thought, oh, wow, the shofar thing, that's cool, you know, when I saw that. And so last week when I just told Paul I had a vision and that people were coming, and there was too many. There was just, like, you know. And he said, he goes, how did you see it? Did you see cars? Because I hadn't shared them. Yesterday, last week when I was sharing about my vision, he goes, how'd you see it? And I go, it was people. I don't know where the cars were. I was trying then at that point to start putting in the cars of where they were to be, and it wasn't. It was people lined up down the street, down there, down, okay, this is Swan, Wild, Swan, down. I mean, they were lined up to get in here. So like this, it's like, but then... What slide is the one where they're praising Debbie? Oh, 76, the next one. It's like they're leaving because they're on holy ground, praising and worshiping him. Then
I met Darren, this young gentleman, at the Southwest Conference, and afterwards they had a taco night where all different nationalities, they had like called the taco, but anyways, it was food, and then they wrapped it in things and all different. So I had a Korean one, and I can't remember the other one, Thai one, or no, it was something else. And so anyways, this young gentleman, I see some people that I know, some pastors in the area, and Pastor Johnny's senior pastor. And so I'm at the table, and then conversations, you know how, because it's a big round table, okay, then they start, you know, talking. And this young gentleman sits next to me, so after that conversation ends, I look at him, and I says, oh, hi, you know, where are you from? And he and his wife have, the God has led them to the Foursquare because of the way that he believes in the moving of the power of the Holy Spirit. God has let them, they're planting a church at San Diego State University, and they have been on many missionary trips and how God brought them together and this heart, and it was just really incredible. So he says, you know, do you mind if I give you a letter to pray and support this? I said, definitely, that's fine. But he asked first, and I said, we will be lifting this up continually on prayer night. But so then he says, can I pray with you? And so we hold hands, and actually, first he goes, can I touch your shoulder? And I said, yes, you know. And so he's touching my shoulder like this, not even like this, you know, touch my shoulder like this, and we're praying, and he's praying for us and our church and for me, and then I then pray for him. But then he goes, do you have the gift of healing? Do you heal people, right? I go, no, but I've been praying for that. You know, I've been praying. And he goes, no, you have it. And he says, it's in your hands. He goes, I see it in your hands. And he goes, I go, really? And he goes, oh, yeah. And so he goes, so then he says, put your hands out. And then he says, Lord, release that healing in her hands. Release that. So then as I'm telling my sister about this experience with this gentleman, I told him, you don't know that that's a confirmation. I'm telling my sister, I go, when I was at a pastor's prayer summit a couple years ago, I met a couple pastors, one of them being Pastor Mark Peterson, which I didn't know at that time, and which we go to some of his things at CCE, and another pastor that Pastor Jenny knew, and they're praying over me and saying, calling out things in me. And I'm like, okay, now, you know, remember, I'm just like, you know, getting my pastor's license at this point, and, you know, stuff. And then the one pastor looks at my hands and he goes, I see gold in your hands. I see gold in your hands, and it's gold like dust. You have the gift of healing. It's like gold to everybody. You are healing people with your hands. God has given you the gift of healing. Then when I'm talking to my sister, I'm remembering, oh, remember when I was with Uncle Daryl when Uncle Larry was in the hospital and he was you know, very ill and about to pass on. And I said, Uncle Daryl and I, we were driving by and I told him then, because right before I went to go to that, Paul said, start speaking out, a woman of the truth ministries. So I start speaking out, a woman of the truth ministries, which we knew by then that God had given a woman truth ministry. So he says, now start speaking it out. And he goes, and by the way, when you travel, you're going to be traveling more, and I'm not always going to be able to go with you. I was going, what? Yeah. Okay, you know how sometimes we love our husbands or spouse or whatever, but, you know, but, or sometimes somebody that's really close to you, you're your best friend, and you love them, but it's like, well, that's you know, like your kids, you know? I told you that. But if they hear it from a friend, why do you believe it from them and not from me? So anyways, then my uncle says, I go, oh, look at, like, God, to tell them the truth, to encourage them. I know God's going to use his word through me and encourage people and speak the truth. And I really want people to be healed and ministered to. And we go by a cute small church. And he goes, oh, no, Karen. He goes, not that you couldn't do that, but he goes, I see you in much bigger, like a tent, like a big revival tent and buildings. And you're going to be healing people. Now, this is my uncle who is in a denomination who just isn't this way, but loves the Lord. I love that reverence and the holiness and you know, and stuff. And I was just like, wow. And as I'm telling my sister, that's coming back to memory. I am on my way to go tomorrow to visit them. I haven't seen them for 2.5 years. The timing to me is God timing. And then I just got this thing from Catalina Cares. We are praying and lifting you up and praying for a refreshing time this week. This week, I'm going to be going. My sister, also my aunt, paid for my sister to join us and go. We're also going to see that couple, Paul and Cindy Johnson. I had just learned about the Moravians, how they were praying people, spirit-filled. John Wesley started and became a Christian through the Moravians. I mean, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, recorrect that statement because, you know, there's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. They live in the outskirts of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, because in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, you have to be of Moravian descent to live there, but she's going to give us a tour. Because things are shut down right now to be able to go see a lot of things. We've seen a lot. But it's like, Lord, this is very interesting how he's working this all out. And then on this past Friday morning, I was asked to sing. I was asked to go Thursday night and Friday morning and sing at my pastor friend's affirmation service with the denomination she is with. She was then appointed as an apostle, Dr. Teresa Buckner, with Divinely Inspired Ministries. And so then this one lady, they had a Pastor Eli from Liberia, and then another pastor apostle from North Carolina, and then a prophetess, because they do, you know, their way that they say things, and prophetess from Florida. And when she was just hugging people, and she goes, get over here, give me a hug. And she gives me a hug, and she looks at me and she goes, wow. She goes, I keep getting from the Lord tent. And she's looking at me firmly in the eyes. I keep getting the word from the Lord tent, and your tent is filled. Your tent is filled. She goes, your home is filled to overflowing. Well, we know that Sister Amy Semple McPherson had the gift of healings, and she did not compromise his truth. The Southwest Conference was called Advance. This one that she had for her 1-year celebration of the church that she planted here in Tucson, because she has some churches Skyping in Africa, and with her promotion, you know, and stuff, it was called Moving Forward. And it was saying that Pastor Eli from Liberia was saying, we need our enemies. We need to shine God's glory brighter. He uses that. He works all things out together for his good, for his purposes. And he uses that for his purpose and his glory to shine brightly for him. And remember when we saw the light at your house, what we haven't seen, and it was brightly shining so great? We are going to shine brighter for the Lord. Then at the Advance, they were saying, we need to reach the younger generation. A pastor was praying over us when Paul and I, when we went out with him and his wife, and they prayed over me, and they were saying, God's going to use you for youth. You're going to be reaching the youth. I kind of table that. And then somebody else, I was saying I was resigning from this one position. They go, I see you being used to reach the youth. Then at this Advance conference, that the Southwest conference, they were saying, we need to reach the youth. We need to reach the youth. We need to reach the youth. And then this one pastor was saying how he was looking at his congregation. He turned 60 and he was going, wow, I love them all, but we're all getting older. How is this church is going to die if it doesn't get in the youth? He goes, then the Lord started showing him he needed to change things up. So he went to the congregation, as I am going to you right now. And he said, we need to put down our preferences. And we need to allow the Lord to bring in maybe new. It may not feel totally comfortable with us. Then go home and listen to your hymns like I love to do and stuff or whatever. Because somebody a couple years ago had said, God is going to, or a year, whatever now it was called. You know, they said, God is going to be bringing also, as we've been praying for more worship. And Pastor Janet's going to be overseeing it. But they were saying that God's going to be bringing, I see a young a man or something. He's working something out in his life, but he's going to also do worship in a different style. And you're going to have to, like, be okay with this because it's not going to kind of, like, totally rub. But it's God's going to use it to bring people from the north, south, east, and west. So what if it is for the youth? I don't know. I tabled that too. I haven't gotten confirmation and I haven't gotten the word yet. But I'm just telling you some things because sometimes, you know, you have to table it and until it is confirmed, I am just sharing with you. But all I know is that we may have to change it up. And if there's that many, we're going to have to do more than one service so we can maybe do, you know, a conservative service. But then I want some of those that the youth need a good example of somebody older and that loves them and cares for them and then come and then put in earplugs or whatever and then change it up. Now, I know that I like all different styles and you see me rocking out on anything and everything that praises and worships the Lord. And I'll even put cowboy boots on and learn some line dancing if I have to. But I just want you to know that we are going to be needing to have this flexibility and it's going to be new and it's going to be different. And we need to be ready for that. Tent, the word is used also for dwelling or habitation. And then this is the dictionary's Easton Bible Dictionary. And then tent, it's ohel. Is that's Genesis 9:21, Genesis 9:27. This word is used also for the dwelling or habitation and of the temple. Dwelling or habitation and of the temple. Then it goes on to, it also refers to sukkah. A tent or a booth made of green boughs or branches. You cannot tell me that all of this that God's been speaking, the ninth month in our calendar of my first year, 1 year anniversary, that for us is giving birth. At the same time, it's the eighth year for Pathway of Hope, new beginnings. And it is the year of Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of Awe. Then you've got Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, 5 days in between. Then you've got the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, the Feast of Booths, the Tabernacle, the Tent, and then you've got the last day of celebrating the Torah, the Word of God, His instructions, His guidance, and we now are going to see things we haven't seen before, hear things we haven't heard before, because each one of us are a part of Pathway of Hope, the body of Christ. Part of the body of Christ, whether we're here in location or not, we are part of the body of Christ. It is a tense. Oh, listen to this Hebrew. Oh, hell. And this is from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It says a tent as clearly conspicuous from a distance. And Paul and I saw this from a distance. It's a covering. It's a dwelling. It's a place. It's a home, it's a tabernacle, it's a tent, and it comes from the word to be clear, to shine. Yeah. Is that cool or what? So here we are, Debbie, we're going through that 72. This is holy ground. Jerusalem is, this is a picture of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. But this, did you know that Tucson, I have heard, is in alignment with Israel, Jerusalem? That's no coincidence either. God called us here. And Pathway of Hope, I don't know if it's going to look like this picture. I don't know, but I know the power of the Holy Spirit is coming on us like Eric drew. And this he drew of what Amy Semple McPherson, when she came up with the four square. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the divine healer, the great physician. Jesus Christ is the soon coming King. And we've got the picture of the man, the lion, the eagle, and the ox. And all of that represented being four square, firm. In God's word, standing firm on He who is faithful and firm to stand on. For this holy ground, there's going to be healing here. Healing at Pathway of Hope. Healing and through a Woman of Truth Ministries, which is originally what? Remember, I said I didn't understand when Pastor Doug was moving on. I was like, Lord, what are you going to do? Because I always thought that a Woman of Truth Ministries was just that originally what Amy Semple McPherson wanted, Sister Amy. And that was
as it's dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism. They have many different people from different churches and stuff speak, because we are the body of Christ. And a Woman of the Truth ministry speaks God's truth to all men, women, and children without compromising, just no denominational on their attachment. Not that Foursquare isn't bad, because I love what it means. But some people like get wrapped up in this denominational thing. And so then we see the people coming, lined up to Pathway of Hope. The Holy Spirit moving. They are out there praising God because their lives have been changed. The blinders have been taken off. The captives have been set free. People have been healed, ministered to, and delivered right here through in and through Pathway of Hope. Not because of us, but because of God. Because His favor is on us, because He is faithful to those who love Him with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, because we are His, and we give Him all the glory. Jesus said in John 14, we will do even greater things than He did, so that He will bring glory to the Father if we do it, acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And everything is by Him and through Him. We are claiming the blood of Jesus. We are claiming the name of Jesus. And then we are going to be that banner. Welcome. Welcome to Pathway of Hope. This is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For great is your faithfulness, Lord God, because you are the one, Lord God, who supplies everything. All our needs are supplied through Jesus Christ. Do we believe in the miracle worker? Are our hands His? Do we believe in Him? We should. Azusa Street, I have that gray and white picture in my office. And it is of Bonnie Bray's house, which is right near Angela's Temple. This is where William Seymour, that's where it started. And the Holy Spirit, and it was so empowered that the porch collapsed. And they rebuilt it. And then eventually, then they moved to the next house. Paul and I were able to be there last December in the Bonnie Bray house. We sat behind Catherine Coleman's pulpit, which they have there. We were at the parsonage with Amy Semple McPherson's pulpit. And then we were next to the piano. That is it Jenny? Is it Jenny is her name? Is that what it is? His wife's name, the next one? Yeah, Jenny. Jenny didn't know how to play the piano. Bishop William Seymour's, and all of a sudden the Lord led her to playing, and she would glow and it would flow. But in this building, He did something weird. God had William Seymour, He had him put like a box or a crate over, like a tent, and he would be there with the Lord, and then all of a sudden the Lord would have him preach. Sometimes He would have him heal on specific things, but the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong. And the power of God, the Shekinah glory was there. Children, there's a book of the children playing in the Shekinah glory. It was about 2 or 3 feet, the cloud of the Holy Spirit. And then they said fire department came out often, because they would see fire coming down and fire going up, but it wasn't being consumed. And then people, women, children, men, all ages, were given gifts of healing. Some were have specific gifts. And so they were ministering 24/7 all the time. People were lined up to come. And only every once in a while, the senior of this all, Pastor William Sr., called to an area at night where women had been praying for a revival. Black man, don't go there. Don't go there at night in a white neighborhood at that point in time. But God, He was obedient to God. And they said, there you are. We've been praying for you. Because they knew the timing was there and then and now. And God, one thing led to another. This is going to happen. But do you hear what I just said? In the building when they eventually moved to that. It was an old warehouse that they, you know. Everybody was being used by God. Given different gifts. And they were using it, different mantles. And they were using it for God's glory. And there was a unity. And some were given the gift of language, the prayer language. And some, I remember reading a story, one said they had a quacking like, and they were going, there's no quacking language, you know, for the gift from of tongues from God, your prayer language. Well, guess what? Then later they found out there was a language in another part of the world that had like a quacking sound, just like what they had. So we shouldn't judge on how God releases. We need to be willing to be God's vessels and instruments, but for God's glory, not for us, not to bring anything to us, but to bring it back to Him, 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 for He should be glorified. And then we see that we see Mariah Woodworth Etter, top left, and there, she, the acts of the Holy Spirit. This was a woman back in the late 1800s and early 1900s called to be an evangelist. And she just was finally obedient to the Lord. Same for Sister Amy. And then we all know Catherine Coleman. Many of us know that, recognize the picture. That big tent was from Mariah Woodworth Etter. Sister Amy had heard about her and went to her. So I'm just letting you see this, because not only men has God used in mighty ways, but He's used women. I didn't do this call in my life. God did this call in my life. And I'm going to be obedient no matter what. And Mariah Woodworth Etter, she was so anointed by God that people 10 miles or so beyond, this is even by secular newspaper accounts of people slain in the spirit and healed and ministered to. And then one time they woke her up at about 3 o'clock in the morning in a town she was speaking at, the police department. They said, all these people are coming confessing their sins and we don't know what to do with them. So she tells them, just repent. Jesus' blood has covered you, paid the price for you. You're redeemed from Him, and receive that gift, that free gift of salvation. And then she had a revival service. But then people sometimes were in trances, and some people were talking about it, but she often, they would say they were with God during this time. We remember we're given John 3:21 and John 6:21, and bring those together, add it, 15, divine grace. See, on this road, Oracle, that's the main road for people to get here. And they're going to come down that road. And we are going to be the house that never sleeps. The dream center that God's dreams, God's visions is going to be released in people finally. And they're going to grab what God had originally intended for them to be and do, because their hearts will be totally surrendered to Him. And we will help them through the strong discipleship program to help them to know and grow in the Lord and be all that God has called them to be that light in that sphere of influence when they leave here to the mission field, wherever. You could be in a restaurant and all of a sudden God will say, you said what? And you said to pray for that person, all of a sudden that person is healed on something, or He says, say something to that person, and it means total sense to them. To you, it may not mean sense, but you're going to be called out because they're going to be encouraged. You are going to be the hands, the feet, the mouth for Jesus, because you are His tool, His vessel, His minister to others. This is what we will be, and people will come to Him. People will be saved. There will be altar calls. People will be healed. People will be ministered to. People will be delivered, because God supplies all we need through the riches in Jesus Christ. Pathway of Hope is going to move with divine grace and move with the number 15. Whether we have a building or not, I don't know. When, where, how, I don't know. But God knows. And it may not look like Angela's Temple, even though I put mesquite and cactus there and a prayer tower. It may not look like that, but the key is John 3:21 plus 3:621, divine grace. We are moving in that because we are going to be that bride that is loyally looking for Him, faithful to Him, expecting what He has for each and every one of us. Loyal to the loyalty of Him. He is always faithful, and we are looking to Him because He is great and His faithfulness is great. And it is because of Him that we will be able to move forward. And I heard this thing said once, that it says, God's vision, God's provision. God's will, God's bill. And God will not guide you where He will not provide. We will have the Lord's Supper. If you need to leave, I understand, you can go, because I know it's running late, but I had to share what God told me to, and I am sorry. Dick, I'm going to turn this down a little bit, but But I just, I want us to have the Lord's Supper to claim what he has for each one of us. But I also believe, I feel that I need to anoint you. So what we'll do is we're going to change it up. I would like you, if you don't mind, if you're not comfortable with them, Paul, will you get it to them? But I want you to come up and get the cup and the matzah cracker for representing the body of Christ. And I want you to get that. Thank you, Pastor Janet. And then I'm going to anoint you before you go and sit back down with oil. Okay? I'm not going to say a bunch of stuff except for Jesus, which is going to encompass all that he has done for you and the promises to be filled, that your eyes will now see how he wants you to see, that your ears will now hear what he wants you to hear, that you will be in tune and surrendered to his will, his way, his timing, his program. We want to be like King David, that we are his servants, his children, his glorious children moving out because our hearts are totally his, ready and willing to do his will, his way, his timing. We are surrendered to him. We will be men and women after God's own heart. And don't compromise that word. And if you blow it like I did last week, then you go and claim and repent and you claim what the blood did. And if you need to apologize to anybody like I had to do to him, you need to apologize. Do what God's told you to do, but we are claiming the power of what he says. So I am going to take the one that's from Bethlehem, the hot bread of heaven, and you're going to hear like you've never heard before and see like you've never seen before. For I received from the Lord that which also was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, always faithful, always true. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But do it with hearts that are seeking him. No unforgiveness at all in you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that you need to repent of. And repent of it right now. And then we will come up. And then I will anoint. This morning, what I didn't share with you is I was crying a lot in the shower this morning, and he goes, are you okay? I said, yeah, it was one of those things that I'm going, Lord, me?
Yes.
But I love you so much, and I want to not compromise your truth. The apostle that promoted and appointed the apostle, Dr. Teresa Buckner, pastor, and She they called her, she's the pit bull with lipstick. I go, ooh, I like that. I am too, so watch out. Remember, there's something that rose up in me, and that came from the Lord in my obedience. But God is calling each of us to hold on to the promises that he has given us. Hold on to it. Psalm 119 verse 49 talks about that, about claiming that promise, and that is your hope, and be encouraged by that. Because I know God, there's many promises in that for all of us, but then he has given each one of us. He has spoken to each one of us, and he will continue to speak to each one of us. And we need to claim that, because it's because of what Jesus did for us that we are going to move in that resurrection power. And what Jesus did for us, because there is a heaven and there is a hell, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ being your Lord and your Savior. So together, Lord God, we come before you and we break this matzah cracker representing the body that you broke for us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you and praise you that by your stripes we are healed. You came to heal all diseases, and we are claiming that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We come before you right now and we thank you for the power of your blood that covers us, that washes us whiter than snow, that we are the righteousness in and through Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. We are your righteousness, Lord God, only and because of him being our Lord and Savior. And we claim the power of your blood, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we are now under the new covenant and you are always faithful. You are always true. You are always good. You are always pure and you are there with us every step of the way. Thank you for the grace that empowers us to do what you have called us to do, to be what you have called us to be, to and for our Heavenly Father's glory by your Holy Spirit in us that we have received because, Jesus, you are now with him. We claim the power of this blood now over us. Thank you, Jesus. May we partake together. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you. This is your day, Lord God. We thank you. And we praise you. Can we stand together?
We are still
Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 for each one of you and anybody who's listening to this. May the Lord bless you, watch over you, guard you, and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto you. And may the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace. For Lord, we thank you and praise you that the peace that we have is through Jesus Christ being our Lord and our Savior. It is not like the world gives. And it is through Jesus being our peace that he will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we surrender ourselves to you as we enter the mission field, Lord God. We are your vessels, your instruments. Use our lips, use our hands, use our feet, for your purposes and your glory. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. Amen. So take your feet with you.
You spell it F-E-A-T, and it works.
Yeah.